Governor Walker makes his formal announcement on his presidential bid at 5 p.m. today in Waukesha. But he has already said he is in on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. In this edition of our State Capitol Report, we will preview Governor Walker's presidential bid, and we will talk about the state budget that he signed into law yesterday after making 104 vetoes. We'll talk about some of those vetoes as well. And we will welcome any questions you might have or reactions. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 9 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, July 13th. We start our State Capitol Report with Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio's state government reporter, who joins us in the studio. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning.
So he's in.
He's in, yeah. I don't think there was any remaining doubt at this point. We knew he was going to be in. I think it's just a question of how he's going to do it and what he's going to say, how he's going to present himself to really the nation. The national media will all be watching him today and have been watching him over the last several days or week. So the governor actually came out this morning and, as you mentioned, on social media platforms, said that he is, it was from his mouth, he's running for president. The pitch that he made in a YouTube video from his campaign was that it was something that you've heard him say elsewhere on the stump, that there are some candidates in the race who have fought but haven't won, in his words, some who won but haven't fought, but he's somebody who's done both. Here's the governor on his YouTube video released this morning.
In the Republican field, there are some who are good fighters. They haven't won those battles. There are others who've won elections but haven't consistently taken on the big fights. You showed you can do both. Now I'm running for president to fight and win for the American people. Without sacrificing our principles, we won 3 elections in 4 years in a blue state. Did it by leading. Now we need to do the same thing for America.
So he's going to say that again then tonight at 5 o'clock?
He is, and he's not just going to say it in any old place. He's going to say it in the same expo center in Waukesha where he found out that he'd won his recall election a few years ago. So at this point, I think the governor's campaign is going to be hitting that pretty hard, kind of set aside all the chatter that's gone on for the next or the last several months and remember why he's a candidate in the first place. Number one, Act 10, the protests. Number two, the recall victory. You're going to hear that in all his speeches, which are going to be in several states over the next.
Yeah, isn't he going on quite the tour once he makes his announcement?
Yep, there's going to be, say, Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina, I want to say Nevada, too. Early primary states, the governor's going to be touring them. He's been there quite a bit already, but he's going to be, he's not the only candidate left who hadn't formally announced yet. I think John Kasich's probably going to get into the governor of Ohio, but he's kind of the last big candidate who everybody's known was going to run for a while, who's officially saying now, yeah, I'm going to run. And so he's going to have kind of a spotlight to himself for a little while, and he's going to use that in the early primary states.
Yeah, and there will be more coverage of Governor Walker's presidential announcement coming up this afternoon on Central Time. We are going to be going live at 5 on Central Time, talking with Sean, I presume, live on the scene. With Sean, you're planning on being there,
right? I will
be
there, yep.
So, talk about, and other political analysts and others, we'll talk about what a Walker run would mean for Wisconsin and how his announcement will impact the race. If you have a reaction, you can call us 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. What does it mean to you that Governor Walker is running for president? So he, before he was able to announce that he is running for president, he wanted to sign the budget, and that he did as well yesterday.
He did. The legislature, after being stuck on this for quite a while, they moved pretty fast last week. I mean, it passed the Senate one day on Tuesday, passed the Assembly on Wednesday. The governor had his vetoes, all 104 of them, wrapped up by Sunday, and he had a signing ceremony at a manufacturing plant in Waukesha to tout what he saw as the budget successes.
Yeah, I'm just curious, Sean. I mean, recent history tells me that usually governors took more time than that to issue line item vetoes. This is pretty fast, isn't it?
I think it's a quick turnaround. I haven't compared it to recent years. The thing you got to remember with this budget is that most of it was in the governor's hands about a month ago. They finished the Republican legislature's, at least the Joint Finance Committee, finished, you know, 90% of the budget way back at the end of May. So if he was going to get creative with any vetoes of that, he had plenty of time to do it. It's just the, you know, some of the later stuff that they added in that wrap-up motion and in the transportation package and some of the taxes, that he had a shorter turnaround time. But, you know, he's got a big staff that can work through that.
Let's clip through some of first, Sean, just the budget without the vetoes. I mean, what are the key highlights of this budget?
I think without the it's the same fundamental budget we've been talking about, basically. I think if you look through all the governor's budgets, vetoes, that there's nothing in there that fundamentally changes this budget. It is basically the budget that he introduced. I think Republican lawmakers would argue that it's different in some important areas, but you know, it's
$73 billion
budget. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that includes state and federal funds. That's the all funds number. Yeah, it holds school funding for public schools, K-12 schools, basically flat in the first year. Small increase in the second year, but doesn't let schools increase their own funding through local property taxes. Big expansion of the voucher program and a big cut to the University of Wisconsin system. The governor proposed $300 million and $250 million cut remained in the budget that passed the legislature. So, those are some of the highlights on education side. Transportation, they ended up cutting his bonding by $450 million, a substantial cut. But a lot of the state's long-term woes when it comes to transportation, what we're going to do there, remain, because it's going to increase debt service levels in the transportation fund to the highest in state history.
Yeah. And it also contains a repeal of the prevailing wage for local government projects, which is not something we necessarily expected.
It is not. And we didn't know what was going to happen there until last week. The Republicans were going to pull that out of the budget, maybe try to pass it as a standalone bill. Then on the Senate's day to take up the budget on Tuesday, they added it to the budget. So this is not something that the governor originally proposed. Although in Waukesha yesterday, while the governor was going through what he saw as the highlights of this budget, that was one of the highlights that he listed, was ending the prevailing wage for local government construction projects starting in 2017. Here's the governor.
We made it easier for local governments, particularly for school boards and for technical college districts and other local governments. A hat tip to the members of the legislature for giving us prevailing wage reform to lift that burden so that construction costs will go down for local governments in the state of Wisconsin going forward. Those are all included in this budget. Those are good things.
So we have a prevailing wage law repeal for those local building projects.
Starting in 2017, and I mean, it's very similar to the way Right to Work played out. This is not something the governor introduced, wasn't a priority for him. The legislature, starting with the Senate, put it in the budget this time, and now it's something that the governor is talking about as he signs the budget. We'll see, maybe talking about it, you know, as he campaigns. Although I don't know if your average person knows much about prevailing wage, but it's a pretty big deal and a pretty big hit for unions in Wisconsin, private sector unions who, had not been unfriendly to this governor, some of them.
We'll talk about vetoes after the news. We have a minute before news. Governor Walker is proud that this budget does not raise property taxes in particular.
That is the first thing that he mentioned in his speech yesterday, which was covered by Chuck Krumbach, that the property tax cut, it's a small cut. I think Fiscal Bureau, when they did the estimate a few months ago, said it would end up being like $11 total for the median home over 2 years. So other people like Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald has been calling it, he isn't saying it's a cut, he's saying it's basically keeping property taxes flat. And depending on where you live and the circumstances of your community and your home, you may see your property taxes go up. But the median value home in Wisconsin will see a small property tax cut in this budget. That was the governor's number one highlight yesterday.
We will talk about what he vetoed, some of what he vetoed, when we come back from news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine with Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter. This is the State Capitol Report here on the Ideas Network. This is the State Capitol Report on the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine with Sean Johnson. Sean is Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter. Talking with Sean about Governor Walker's presidential bid. Sean will be covering that this afternoon at 5 o'clock in Waukesha. And also talking about the governor's budget that he signed yesterday. Walker signed the budget into law yesterday after making 104 line item vetoes. And, Sean, Democrats are calling this budget the worst budget ever?
Those were the words that they used, a few of them, during the assembly debate as this thing was wrapping up last week. And I think if you listen to Assembly Democratic Minority Leader Peter Barca run through their complaints with this budget, maybe not those words, but definitely that same sentiment.
This budget really is much more of a right-wing primary election campaign document than it is a governing document, especially for a state like Wisconsin. The sad reality is Governor Walker is throwing the citizens of Wisconsin, their hopes, their dreams, their future, under his campaign bus en route to Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina, and other points.
Under the campaign bus. I see what he did there.
Yeah, I expect to hear that a few more times over the next couple of years, I think. We haven't seen a poll recently on where the governor stands as far as his approval rating. The last Marquette poll, and actually our last poll that we did with St. Norbert, had it lower than it's been any other time in his term. So we'll see what happens with that. But the governor is not going to be here in Wisconsin to kind of prop up his own numbers or to sell his message here. He has moved on kind of officially today. He has moved on. And so you can expect Democrats to use that extensively as they stay focused on their state races.
We will be talking with State Representative Peter Barca coming up in our next half of the State Capitol Report. He'll join us in about 15 minutes or so. And in just a few minutes, we'll be welcoming in outgoing Republican State Senator Paul Farrell. So stay with us for their reactions to the budget and to Governor Walker running for president. Sean, let's talk about some of these vetoes in our remaining moments here. Governor Walker did veto this expansion of payday lending services.
This is one of those items that came out of nowhere in that wrap-up motion that is being commonly called the 999 motion in the Joint Finance Committee. It would have given payday lenders more authority to offer other financial products, financial planning. The governor took that out. That's something that a lot of the church groups didn't like. And I mean, for the governor who's going to be trying to appeal to social conservatives in Iowa, maybe an easy call for him there. It's not something that exactly had kind of a public outcry to push for this. It's the type of thing that gets added to the budget at the last minute.
Yeah. He also vetoed a health insurance provision for that drug testing program for those who are getting public benefits.
Yeah. The budget requires drug testing for a variety of government benefits. And I believe that the way that he vetoed it would say that the state won't necessarily pay for that drug testing if the person has insurance. So that had kind of been the pitch all along, that was that we're doing this because we cared. We will pay for drug testing. This would be a slight change from that and say that if you have insurance that can pay for it, that that the person would pay, the person's insurance would cover it.
So the governor says the state as a last resort is what is kind of what he's saying.
I think so. Yeah.
What about the long-term care insurance and IRIS programs? He did something along those lines.
Yeah, the way that the state's long-term care insurance programs, like IRIS, are set up right now is they are regional. I think there are 8 regions right now. The thought being that you have unique circumstances in different parts of the state, unique providers, and so you have these regional control, so that it's really focused on what different parts of Wisconsin specialize in. The Finance Committee would have pared that down a little bit and had 5 regions. The governor originally wanted a statewide system, and it looks like the veto that he did over the weekend would allow for that statewide system run by a for-profit HMO or HMOs potentially.
We can't go to all 104 vetoes during our segment. We only have about a minute or so left. Any other vetoes of significance as at first look at this?
It's not huge, but one thing that legislators did when they passed the transportation budget, they acknowledged they weren't solving the long-term issues, but they said they're going to audit the DOT and figure out how the DOT projects traffic patterns, and because there's some thought by not only some fiscal conservatives but environmental groups that the DOT is using unrealistic traffic projections to justify these major highway expansions. That got vetoed out, so they could still order an audit in different ways, but not through this budget.
So only less than a minute now. Are we going to have a deal on this new Milwaukee Bucks arena this week?
Yeah, we don't know. That it sounds like they might try to pass the Bucks deal this week. We don't exactly know when the clock strikes midnight on that deal. I mean, the Bucks have said we got to do this as soon as possible for a while now. They're saying that if they don't do this, the NBA is going to take the franchise back from Milwaukee and it'll move to a city like Seattle or Las Vegas. And so Republicans are trying to round up the votes for this, and it is one rare issue where you have Republicans trying to get Democratic votes, and Democrats are trying to get the Bucks deal more to their liking.
So as we're getting Senator Farrow on the line, let me take a call from George in Milwaukee. George, what's your question?
There was an interesting article in this morning's Journal Sentinel by Dan Bice regarding what Walker's future might be. If he doesn't get the Republican nomination for president. And it's kind of interesting. I know this is all, of course, speculation, but it's kind of fun for those of us who would like to see the end of Walker. But there's some speculation among some Republicans and some Democrats that he might not end up, finish his term as governor, and that he might go on to greener pastures, whether it says, maybe making giant fees, in the conservative talk circuit or whatever.
Yeah. Thanks very much, George. I know that former Madison Mayor Dave Cheslevich made a similar prediction that he would go on to be a Fox News analyst if he didn't win the GOP nomination. Any thoughts or reaction, Sean?
Yeah, let's just preface everything. Like the caller said, it's all speculation at this point. I think that the governor's first option would be, he becomes elected president of the United States and leaves the governor's office that way. I think it is very, I think it is possible that he would leave if he were not elected. I think it is possible he would leave before the end of his term.
Yeah. And it depends on who is elected president, too, I suppose,
right.
If he's not.
If somebody else gets elected and wants to name him to a cabinet secretary position, that's a possibility. He could always have a job in the public speaking circuit, but I don't see him running for another term as governor, no matter what happens.
Yeah. Thank you, Sean, and we will listen for you tonight at 5 o'clock on Central Time as Governor Walker makes it official in his announcement from Waukesha.
All right, thanks.
Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio, state government reporter.